Reaction, how we respond to things, is one of the most crucial things that we can learn. You know, how we react to the situations in our life, I mean, really shape the fibers of our heart. I mean, that's crucial to understand that when we react in a positive way, we can get positive results. When we react in a negative way, we of course get some negative results. And today I want to really hone in and talk about how if we choose to react in a godly way to the situations that are put in front of us, it will really determine not just our present, but our future. And the same is true when we react in a negative way. It will determine our present and our future. And every single day, each and every one of us have an opportunity to get bitter. I don't know if you can recall the last time. It might have been 12 hours ago. But every day, we have an opportunity to get bitter at people because of the stuff they do against us or say about us. And how we react to those situations really determines whether or not bitterness takes root in our life. And I think that we need to understand that we don't become bitter simply because people do wrong to us. We become bitter when we harbor offenses and choose not to walk in forgiveness. We all have the ability to either forgive or harbor these harmful emotions that the enemy wants to put in our lives, really to stop our joy and to stop our peace and to stop our growth in him. And understanding this, we begin to live a life to where we're not going to let bitterness rob us of God's destiny, what he has for us, because bitter people are not fun people. They're sour people. I don't know if you've ever met anybody who was sour. You know, they have a sour face all the time. And, you know, you tell them something and they just seem like, well, here, I'll give you an example. Jonathan, come here. I'm going to use you as a service. I got some sour candy here. There you go. Now this is what happens when you harbor bitterness. Go ahead. This is how you look. Go ahead. My mouth's already watering. Is it? No? Gets me every time. Hang on. Watch. It's still in there. But you get this sour look. Got it? Mm-hmm. Give Jonathan a hand. Sour face. And these people are no fun to talk to because they're always just harboring bitterness, harboring resentment. And something that I've learned is, you know, our lives are not determined by what happens to us. Our lives are determined by how we react to what happens, how we react to the injustice done against us, how we react to the words spoken against us, how we react to our failures. Everybody in here, you're going to fail. Sometimes it's going to be something maybe tiny bit. Sometimes it's going to be a drastic failure. But failures are great because failures mean that you've tried something new. You've done something that other people aren't willing to do. So are we going to react to our failures as in a way of, well, I wish I shouldn't have done it. I regret what I did. Or you know what? I'm going to respond. I'm glad I did it. I got positive things out of it. And it's made me stronger as a result. How I respond to failure. I know a lot of people, they respond to failure in a way to where they basically just give up and they don't look at it as something that, hey, it's building character, it's building life within them. And we need to understand when we respond properly to the hatred maybe that is done against us, when we respond properly to the things that people do against us, We don't give them control. Because a lot of times, how we react to people, we give them control over our lives. I mean, there are people that are sitting in here right now that somebody has control over you because they said something to you and your reaction was basically this offense. You didn't walk in forgiveness, so it really harms your life. And you responded out of rage or you responded out of resentment, whatever, and you're still living in that reaction today. And this is what Jesus doesn't want us to do. And you know, I can't change the information that comes my way. Meaning that I can't control what people say about me. You can't control what people say about you. I can't control how people treat me. But you know what I can do? I can control how I respond to the injustice done against me. I can choose to respond and level up in my life and not let people get the best of me. Now, that doesn't mean that I have no emotion. Some people think that it's wrong to have emotion. Don't be sad. Just trust God. Oh, just lost my dad. Don't be sad. Just trust God. I just lost my leg. Don't be mad. Just trust God. And they have this like, you shouldn't have any emotion. But you know, do you realize Jesus displayed over 20 different kinds of emotions and they weren't all sunshine and rainbow emotions. He had emotions of affliction, anguish, anger, compassion, distress, grief, gladness, indignation, joy, love, weariness. He had all these different emotions going on. And there's nothing wrong with having emotions. It's how we use our emotions that get us in trouble. And we have to really get some guidance from the Holy Spirit and how we need to react properly to things. For instance, it's not stress that kills us. It's our reaction to it. How we react to stress. Yes, I understand that stress causes high blood pressure, but it's how we react to the stress. Stress becomes what it is because maybe we're uptight and tense and how we react to the shortcomings of life or the failures of life. But you know what? Life does not have to be that way. We don't have to live a life of stress. We don't have to live a life of retaliation. Do you know anybody that's ever retaliated against you? Somebody that's just been out for you. It's been out to get you. And I think about this, that Jesus doesn't call us to retaliate. And that's a hard thing because your flesh wants to retaliate against the people that do you wrong. But the Bible gives us some pretty blunt instructions about how we're to handle, how we are to react to people that do us wrong. And this starts in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ has suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow his steps." This is crucial to understand. I was reading this over and over again, and really what stood out to me is God has called us to do good, even if it means somebody does us wrong, even if it means somebody throws us under the bus, even if it means someone gossips and lies about us, you are to do good, even if. And what happens is we come along like, well, that's nice. That sounds good, but not really gonna practice that. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that if you read and you were honest with yourself, you'd be like, oh, man, don't think I would have put that in there. Praying for your enemies? Nope. It's amazing how we don't like the Old Testament until we want to retaliate against our enemies. Then the Old Testament is awesome. Like, oh, yeah, let's kill people. Yes, let's retaliate. And I start thinking about even if it means, Christ is telling us that, hey, I went through a lot of stuff, a lot more stuff than you will ever go through. I was ridiculed, was lied about, I was gossiped about. But you know what? I didn't retaliate, even if it means suffering. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 through 23 says, he never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. No, Jesus never attacked those who attacked him. He never gave people the benefit of getting under his skin. And I know people, well, that was Jesus, like pretty Jesus. These awesome paintings of Jesus that are completely horrible. Looks like Jesus never ate. And he was on like a cleanse his whole life. And he had like awesome hair products and a great makeup artist. And he always had just a clean lamb. It's like wherever he went, he was just holding a clean lamb. I'm going to die for you, my little lamb. But Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus wasn't that way. And things that we don't realize is that, you know, Jesus, there were times, I guarantee you, he wanted to retaliate. There were times I'm sure he wanted to take a knee and put it in the face of a Pharisee. I'm sure there were times he wanted to just really tell people what he thought, but he didn't, because that is not the way the kingdom functions. And Jesus doesn't want us to operate in pump action reaction. Meaning, we're not supposed to carry shotguns around in the spirit world and be like, you know what? I'm going to have some pump action reaction. But that's not how Jesus wants us to react. He wants us to respond in a Christ action way. And that's why we must move from me action to Christ action. Me action is all about how I want to respond, how I want to do things, how I think this situation should be handled. But Christ action really goes against the grain. It goes against your nature. And it does what Jesus did for us. It gives people what they don't deserve. And God wants us to operate in this Christ action. Because when you operate in Christ action, there are some tremendous benefits that will come your way. I love this scripture. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, it says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you. Jenna, that is the weirdest thing I've ever read. I've read it a lot, but it's weird every time I read it. Okay, why can't God bless me when people are blessing me? Why does it say, hey, if people persecute me, mock me, and lie about me, God says, hey, I'll bless you. And I start thinking about how not only do our reactions shape the fibers of our heart, they shape the blessings in our life. And I know this might sound a little crazy, but you are actually bringing blessings upon yourself when you respond in a Christ action way to the crazies in your life. Oh, there are crazy people. I don't know if you've ever met any crazy people. And they're just, you know, intense. You know, they find out something. You know, they're the people, they don't Facebook message you. They put it on your wall. Just right on your wall. Just right on your wall for the whole world to see. And then they know somebody at Facebook to where you can't take it down. And they're just crazy. You know, you see people on Facebook like, oh, private message. Not on the wall. No. But God blesses us. People who do us wrong, I don't think they actually understand they're bringing blessings upon us when we react with this Christ action. Maybe haters aren't haters. Maybe haters are helpers. Maybe they're hamburger helpers of the spirit world, and they help us when they hate us. Because when they hate us, they bless us. They don't bless us. God blesses us, because when the haters dislike us, God blesses us. So next time you find somebody who doesn't like you, just be like, yes! Yes! Woo! I'm looking for another one. And so you're not always like, oh, I can't believe what they did to me. You'd be like, oh, I know they didn't, but man, this is going to bring blessing on me. This is amazing. And this doesn't mean you let people run all over you now. A loving reaction isn't a weak reaction. Reacting properly to the negative things that gets thrown at us doesn't mean that we let people walk all over us. Jesus never let people walk over him. He spoke the truth in love, no matter what. And you know what? If you can't speak the truth in love, don't speak the truth. But understanding the truth is often hated the first time it's heard. You know, how I react to what this world throws at me determines the peace and blessings I experience in this life. And I've seen a lot of people. I could tell you stories of people that were done wrong. Things taken from them that shouldn't have been taken from them. Injustice done to them. Somebody else's fault put a big problem in their life. And they just kept going and responding. And today, they're living in blessings because they didn't react in a hasteful, angry manner. You know, reacting properly changes the environment. And I'm not going to mention any names, but my brother was driving in Tulsa with a guy named Ted Shulsworth, who's a minister, and they were driving. And my brother was just kind of griping and complaining about school that he was in. He was a little upset, a little mad. And we've talked about this story many times. It's a funny story. And Matt was over there and saying, I'm tired of school. I don't like my job. And he was just going on and on. And Ted Shulsworth's driving. And all of a sudden, Ted just looks at my brother and says, boy, Matt, isn't God good? And Matt said he couldn't say anything. What do you say after that? There's really nothing left to say. And my point is, we can either respond when people say stuff to us on their level or a Christ level. Okay? I'm not saying you don't let people vent. I'm not saying you're not there to support, but what I'm trying to say is people will test you. Have you ever had anybody test you? Like, hey, did you hear about? And they want to know what side you're on. They want to see where you stand. They want to see your reaction. And you know what? As children of God, God hasn't called us to be on sides. I was talking with a guy this past week, and he really wanted me to be on this certain side. And I said, well, man, if I'm on that side, then I'm leaving this person out in the cold. And even though I don't know this person very well, and I know you better, I'm not going to leave this person out in the cold. And this is what happens a lot of times when I counsel, you know, married couples. If somebody wants me to pick a side, and I'm not picking a side. I love both people the same because that's what God has called me to do. And a lot of times our reaction to problems is basically, well, I'm going to pick this side, and you know what? Who cares what happens to that person? And how we react to the people that are experiencing pain, let me tell you, really determines whether or not they get through their pain. And how we react to the lost. I mean, I put this on last night. I posted this quote, but how we react to the dirty can change eternity. It absolutely can. How we react to the lost. I mean, we at Nexus, we know that if we're going to have a proper react to the lost, hey, it's going to be a big cost. It is. And God has called us to react to the lost on a loving level. And that's what we're all about. Every single week, people come in these doors, and they're hurting, and they have pain, and they have just past bad experiences. A lot of them have just never gone to church. Some of them have gone to church too much. What I mean by too much is they've been to all these churches and it's like they've never really even heard about the love of Christ. Now, I know that sounds kind of like an oxymoron, but there are a lot of people that go to church and never hear anything about the love of Christ. And we are to respond to people in a loving way to where they know Jesus loves them. It doesn't matter if their style is not your style. Okay, there's a lot of people that come in here and you might be like, whoa, wait a minute. Thought this was a church. Because maybe you've just stepped right out of religion and at your past church there was a dress code. You know, it wasn't on the wall, but there was a dress code. And anybody, I remember one time I walked into a church, and this was a long time ago, and I had jeans on, and people looked at me like I had no clothes on. Like I had completely disrupted the presence of God with my fibers in my jeans. Like the atmosphere in there was destroyed. Like it, jeans were the kryptonite to the presence of God. And they're just like, and you know what? This is the problem, because we don't react to people in the way that Jesus wants us to react to them. But I'm believing at Nexus Church, we are changing things and we are seeing people come to Christ who would have never come to Christ. And we're seeing people be changed from the inside out because they're experiencing a love that they've never experienced before. And they've lived a life where people have judged them and people have ridiculed them, a life where they have felt condemned and they've felt just full of shame. But they finally find that there's a Savior that wants to embrace them and put them in his arms and give them hope and give them a future. And that's what we're about. We're not about seeing people destroyed. We're about what Jesus was about, and that is saving people. The time for pretty churches and pretty sermons is done. And those churches aren't going to grow. Those churches aren't going to function because those kinds of religious people, I pray, will die out. Not physically, but just get rid of them. They're pointless. Burn your building down if you don't accept the lost. I mean, I think if we, I've written 7 books. I told Victor this the other day, we were laughing. I've written 7 books. They've never been put into a book, but I have 7 books. It's kind of funny because I will just write and write and write and write and I never do anything with it. But I was writing about just churches in general. And this one was called New Book. Because I have new book. So this was the new book. And I was talking about how we as pastors, if we gotta get past paper research and we gotta live in reality. You know, you gotta connect with people. If you don't know the lost, if you don't have a couple of just rough friends, you're never going to preach a good sermon because you think everybody's just, oh, hallelujah. Let's go to the buffet after church, go home, watch a little TV, and fall asleep to a little Southern gospel. Hallelujah. That's not how people live. Not everybody or anybody. I don't know. The only person I know who lives like that or listens to Southern gospel is my dad. He loves Southern gospel, and that's fine. But my point is there is a culture that is dying, and people that are completely lost because the church has put a mandate higher than Jesus put, and the people preaching it can't even reach it. But they make you think they can, and you think they can because you don't even know them. If we saw the pain and hurt in people's lives, if we actually knew, I mean, I could tell you just firsthand that the stuff that people preach that is almost so high, no one lives that way. Because it almost comes across like I'm saved by what I do. And then if I don't do, then I'm damned. So the gospel is just duck, duck, damn. Duck, duck, damn. It's like these two people are good, but this person's damned. I'm preaching. Good third. Number 3. You know what, Nexus, let me tell you something. I tell you, every service here is different. If you go back and you listen to all 3 services, Never said any of this stuff in second or first. Stuff I said in second. And let me tell you what that is. That is basically saying and understanding that we as a church are nothing without Christ. This, what we are doing here and in the city cannot be organized to the point to where we are like, okay, like this, and then like this, and like this. Yes, we have a clock, but you know, I really don't care about the clock. I do, but I don't. I mean, I'm going to move and do what Christ wants me to do, but I want to abide by, you know, the structure and what we want to do. My point is, we are reaching people that honestly, from a research standpoint, are unreachable. We got atheists that come to Nexus. 3 weeks after being here, they're buying little grenade shirts. They're starting to listen to the app. People that didn't even believe in God are all of a sudden, I mean, think of that. They've lived their whole life not even believing in God, and within 3 weeks, God is the greatest thing in their life. That's power in the name of Jesus. You know, last year in June, we did something called Random Acts of Kindness. We're doing it again this year. And last year, we saw so many amazing reactions simply through throwing, just showing kindness to the people in our city. And we're going to do the same thing again this year. All right? We're going to empty out some bank accounts because that's what we do. We do. Last year, we gave 14 grand of gas away. And it was all raised on a Sunday. At the time, we had $800 in our checking account. People don't understand, if you knew that this, what we're doing here, is a miracle. That what God has done here is a miracle. And we're going to continue to trust in God and not trust in funds. Funds are important. They help things, yes. But my hope can't be in how much I have. My hope has to be in how much can I give? How much can I bless people? And this summer, we're gonna go out again and do some amazing things. And I want to start off this by opening up with a message next week that's going to get us ready for what's going to happen in June. I want you to check out this video, then I'm going to be right back. Amen.